And then inside your worship guide, you have a new set of message notes. The intent was to finish it today, but I'm not going to be able to. So you're going to have a Mother's Day for two Sundays. We'll conclude next time with Abba Father's Daughter as a Mom as you look inside your message notes. Have we got it all straightened out now? Okay. My wife says she heard this joke. I hadn't heard it, so I'm going to share it. And those of you who haven't heard it, you're going to be happy. Those of you who have heard it, be happy again. The story goes like this. You have a daughter, and she goes to her mom, and she says, "What's it like to have the greatest daughter in the whole world?" And mom says, "I don't know. You'll have to go ask your grandmother." Well, it's Mother's Day. You know, there's a story about a husband and wife. They go to a party with their friends, and they get into a conversation, and the whole topic of marriage counseling comes up. And this young wife, she says, we'll never need that. And my husband and I have a great relationship. My husband, he has a degree in communication. And when I was in college, I majored in theater arts. So he communicates exceedingly well, and I pretend like I'm listening. And you know, it is a cute story. But the reality, as you look into it, is that there is this sense of husband and wife relationships not quite being what they ought to be. She's going to fake listening to him in the joke. In our country today, there is division between males and females, and it's being pushed heavily. We have a division between husbands and wives, and that's being pushed heavily. We have divisions between dads and moms. All of that to say, we are moving towards disaster, and some of these disasters have already taken place in our homes, between friends. People who used to consider themselves friends. Relationships have been disrupted and disturbed. I titled this morning's message, "Today, Live Like the Woman God Designed You to Be." Live like the woman that God intended you to be, planned for you to be. As we move forward into this teaching this morning and complete it next Sunday, some of you ladies, you're going to be going, I'm doing well. And you're going to feel very encouraged. And that is wonderful. Yet some of you other girls are going to be thinking, I didn't know I was supposed to be like that. I didn't know that our Heavenly Father expected this of me. And you're going to feel discouraged. And I don't want you to be discouraged. You understand? Our Heavenly Father isn't sharing these things to discourage you should you find yourself being discouraged. He wants to encourage you. Because if you didn't know this, that's one thing. And now you can do something about it with the Holy Spirit's help. And if you did know about it and you've been rebelling against him, well, then that's an issue between your Heavenly Father and you. You know, just as those of us who have raised kids to adulthood, we know that when we get into a certain period of life, some of our kids become rebels. And you might be a rebel right now. But I don't encourage you to stay there. I encourage you to take the encouragement this morning if it's necessary, and you and the Holy Spirit change everything the way it needs to be. And you'll see why I ask you to do that. So this morning, as you look at your notes, this morning's message is for women who are disciples of our Lord Jesus generally. The focus is on Christian women. The focus is on Christian moms who are disciples. The Christian and disciple are one and the same. You're a woman who is not just a hearer of the word. You are a woman, a mom, who is a doer of the word. You're not a woman who is a spectator in life. You are a participator and fulfilling your role and your responsibility before our Heavenly Father, who loves you so very, very much. This message is for, even as I prayed earlier, for aunts. Because oftentimes, at least in my experience, I have met women who are aunts, and they come alongside their sisters and their brothers, and sometimes they take over the rearing of their sister or brother's child or children. Likewise, I'm talking the grandmas. Grandmothers in our day and age, unfortunately, oftentimes have to pick up like they did when they had their first kids. They have to begin raising their kids' children. And then there's the girlfriend. There's always the girlfriend to ladies. And you're the best friends. And if you see that your girlfriend with kids is struggling, you step in and you're like auntie or a second mom to those kids growing up. I have my mom, as I mentioned earlier. And I'm going to see her this afternoon. But I had a second mom, too. And her name was Thelma Fisher. And she went to be with Christ a year before last. And I'm looking forward to seeing her again. But some of us have more than one mom. And anyway, Thelma was able, because she was a little removed, because she was my best friend's mom, to be able to handle me, and then my mom was able to. So she gave me a little more latitude, and so I loved her so much. But the fact is, as you look at your notes, the evil one, Satan, knows that whatever he can divide, he can dominate. Whatever he can divide, he can dominate. Would you say that with me? Whatever he can divide, he can dominate. Our Lord Jesus in Mark 3:25, do you see that either on your up there or on your notes? Let's read that aloud together, shall we? And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And that's so true. We see divorce running rampant in our country, and it has been for the last 45, 50 years at least, unfortunately. I mean, I come from a family. My great-grandmother was married twice. My grandmother was married three times. My mom was married twice. My father, Kelly's father, he was married five times, but twice to the same woman. My mom was his first wife, and his second and fourth wife was Kelly's mom. But he still had a fifth wife. Division. In Luke's gospel, chapter 11, verse 17, our Lord Jesus, he's being quoted here by Luke, and he says, but Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste. You just have to look around at our own country. Look at us. We are in We're not in a shooting civil war yet. But you know what? I'm not saying that we're not going to actually get in one. Because we have become so mean-spirited as a nation. Mean. I saw a video on the news, and here's an 80-year-old man, and he's holding a sign. He's pro-life. And you got a guy in his 30s, and he comes over and grabs the guy's bike and throws it in the street, knocks him down, tries pulling the sign away from this 80-year-old guy who's continually to hold on to it, and he stands there, and he's kicking him and kicking him and says, "Let go of the sign, old man. Don't you think about getting up," and kicking him. Next is going to come weapons. If something doesn't change significantly, America is a dangerous place. Very dangerous place. Our kids lived through Afghanistan. They come home and they become police officers. And then they get killed because they pull over someone to write a ticket. 16 of them so far this year. 16. That's just shooting deaths of police officers. I'm not talking about the other murders that take place against them. Ladies, as we look back at 11:17, Jesus went on and said, "A divided household falls. A divided household falls." We see that in churches. We have splits in churches all across America because we see the fruit of the Spirit being operating in all of those Christians in those churches. I mean, there's love and there's joy and there's peace and there's patience and there's kindness and there's goodness and there's faithfulness. They're being humble. They're being forgiving. Not. They should be. But what we see is anger and wrath and slander. I mean, there's just this meanness that's outside the church that's brought into the church. Why is that? I thought we are new creations. I thought the old passed away. I thought we honored the Lord Jesus by, well, he asked me to love him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'm doing that, right? And he asked me to love this person next to me, and that person in front of me, and that person out there in the parking lot. Get out of my car. He told me to love that person with all my heart. He told me to seek their best and greatest good at my expense. Why isn't the church doing that? Why is the church, not all the church, but why is the church acting like the culture rather than Jesus? Girls, the question is, why don't we see all these beautiful women that God designed acting the way he designed them to act? Satan knows that if he is going to cancel your ability, ladies, to live well for your Heavenly Father, all he needs to do is to bring disorder and dissension into your life that creates chaos. Because once the chaos begins, you're going to move away from your Heavenly Father and you're going to try to deal with it in your flesh. Now you may be saying, well, what about guys? This morning isn't about guys. Father's Day is next month. The Holy Spirit, I believe, prompted me to just want to talk to Christian women this morning and next week. He wants to talk to you because there isn't a whole lot of teaching going on with regard to our Heavenly Father's expectation of his daughters as to how they are to live before him. and in this world. Satan knows that whatever he can divide, as I said earlier, he can dominate. He knows that if he disrupts us, there will be chaos because our Heavenly Father, Abba, he operates in unity. He wants to see unity in our relationships, not disunity. As you look at your notes, Satan seeks to remove Abba, Father, from the equation by dividing those under his rule, his daughters. They're to submit themselves unto him. One of the major ways Satan seeks to do this in a woman's life is to mess up what I call the arrangement. That's Abba's established. That Abba established. I've given you here a statement that where I'm saying Father God created an arrangement, a order, a divine order by which we're all to live. But ladies, he's talking about you this morning. When our Heavenly Father created man and woman, he established an arrangement between them and himself. When he established the genders of which, and don't write me any nasty notes, I won't answer them about this. There are only two genders, folks. Amen. I don't care what our culture says, there are two genders, male and female. Nothing else in between, nothing else beyond, male and female. He created an arrangement, a divine order. As you look at your notes, Eve was created second as a counterpart or helper to Adam, with Adam in a position of ultimate responsibility. We see this in Genesis. We know this because although it was Eve who was deceived by Satan and ate the fruit first, it was Adam for whom Abba went looking for in the garden to hold him accountable for them. Abba didn't say, Adam and Eve, where are you? He didn't say, Adam, Isha, where are you? He said, man. He said, Adam, where are you? Adam was responsible for his as well as Eve's sin. Eve was created to provide a very strong help in the position next to Adam as a helper. His original plan was for both of them in the garden to be co-regents. But that all changed when they sinned. Abba values women so highly that he specifically tells men he will not even hear or respond to their prayers if they do not adequately show their wives honor. Look at 1 Peter here, 1 Peter 3. In verse 7, it says, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Now, that seems clear enough all by itself, but as you look into the Greek text, you can find that it's even more specific than what you just listened to in the English language. In the Greek, it says here, husbands, live with your wives in a katagnosen way, in a considerate way. You are to be looking at your wives in such a way and learning from them what they need emotionally, spiritually, and what their other needs might be. You need to understand that as a man in Christ. The question is, do you? Do you katagosen with her? Do you know what her needs are? Do you know what it is that she needs emotionally and physically? So we are to understand our wives in this way. Showing honor to me means to respect them. It means to show esteem to this woman who is your wife. Girls, is that what you feel you're receiving from your husbands? I hope so. Because guys, if you're not, have you wondered why maybe you... I thought my prayers were bouncing off the ceiling. You need to be aware of your wife's needs. And you need to be esteeming her, showing her value. And then girls, please, you know, if you're steeped and socially engineered in our culture today and you hear, well, Peter just called me a weaker vessel. Huh. You know, I can take my husband on. I doubt it, but maybe. Generally speaking, we're just, as males, given greater muscle. He created us male and female. That was his plan. He had a reason for that. Guys can do certain things that girls can't, and girls can do certain things that guys can't. Isn't that wonderful? He made us to complement each other, not to sit there and disrespect and tear each other down. He says here that we are joint heirs with you. They are joint heirs with you in the grace of life. If your wife is a Christian, you're joint heirs in this great and marvelous salvation. If your wife isn't a Christian, then you're joint heirs and you are in this temporal life together. Same thing applies. You are to esteem her. You are to understand what her needs are. And then come alongside and do what you can to help her, to protect her, to love her. Looking back at your notes, women have been created as such an essential factor, essential, ladies, essential factor of carrying out Abba Father's rule that it is not a wonder Satan went to Eve first to try to disrupt that rule, that order. He knew that if he could get her, he would have an easier time with Adam, and he sure did. By seeking to reverse the arrangement, the roles established by Satan, Satan introduced chaos into what was previously a peaceful garden. What could have been a peaceful home, what could have been a peaceful relationship between men and women, a peaceful relationship between husbands and wives, fathers and mothers. But he intervened because he knew that whatever he could mess up, he could dominate. Essentially, Satan convinced Eve to move out of her lane, out of her roles and responsibility. As a result, both Adam and Eve moved out of their lanes, their roles and responsibilities. Now they're crossing over and banging into each other. And we have women wanting to be men and men being asked to act like women. And I hope God's daughters will figure out, because there are men and there are women, and he created the male and female. In the image of him, he created them, male and female, that there is supposed to be a difference between men and women. And quit trying to move men over to the woman's court where we get emotional and we cry and that kind of thing. Men do cry. They do weep from time to time. But they're men. And you have to help them. And guys, when your girl tells you, you know, I feel this way, she's in this pain, I feel this way, and you tell her, don't feel that way. Don't tell her not to feel a particular way. She feels that way. She feels that way. You know, back there in 1 Peter 7, talking about the weaker vessel, it's talking about the fact that she doesn't have the muscles you do. And she is emotionally weaker than you. That's the way God made her. And that's okay. That's good. That's good that she's that way. But we don't have to be numbskulls about it. She's been sick. Instead of enjoying the blessing that Abba had promised, the very thing that he had intended as a blessing, thinking of Adam and Eve in the garden, the ground that produced such wonderful fruit, and the ground that had all of these beautiful flowers and so forth in this garden, now became a curse. And that's what lots of people go home to, a curse. That's what too many people in this country have between each other, a curse. The relationship is all messed up. They're not in God's arrangement. Looking at your notes, the surest way of receiving Abba's blessings and power in your life is to honor his arrangement. We have been being socially engineered by the left, by liberals. We have been socially engineered. Let's leave those titles out. We've been socially engineered since the beginning of the garden, but especially now with all of this media that we have today by Satan, to get out of our lanes. Far too many men that go to church, call themselves Christians, maybe are. They haven't got a clue as to what their role and responsibility is as a Christian man, a Christian husband, or a Christian father. And I lay that at their feet, not at the feet of a pastor who maybe hasn't been teaching on that subject. You have your own Bibles, gentlemen. And if you are unable to read, then get a mentor who can help you read the passages, learn the passages that talk about our roles and our responsibilities. The subtitle that I have here next for you is The Church Family, A Church Family Not Following the Arrangement. I mean, the perfect example is the Corinthian church. I don't know that they ever got their acts together. But nonetheless, they're there, and they're there to teach us, and the words are there from the Holy Spirit for us to learn thereby. But looking at your notes, Paul reminded the Corinthian church family, he told them who's in charge, God, and how he had ordained things. He explained these things to them. So he wrote it down for them, and you can read about this yourself in chapter 7 before I take you to chapter 11. I didn't write these down for you, but I'll give them to you now if you're interested. You can go to chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians, and chapter 7, verses 3 and 4, and then verses 10 through 12, and verses 14 and 16. So he wrote these things down for them, as you can see in chapter 7 of his first letter to the church family there. In 1 Corinthians 11 now, in verses 1 and 3, basically, what he's saying is, be imitators of me. Be imitators of me. He says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Follow my example. Now, I want you to realize that the head of every man, what does that mean? Head. Head. He says, now I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is a man. Wait a minute. Does that mean a woman has a man of a, has a head of a man? I mean, what does that mean? So I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is a man, and the head of Christ is God. The fact is, Paul didn't dance around Abba's teaching of submission. Hupostasso. Submission. He didn't scapegoat it. He made it plain. And when Abba Father establishes his order of things, he didn't hide it in order to put it in some obscure place. Hupostasso. What does that mean? Well, in part it means that it's a ranking. There is an order. And you rank yourself and you place yourself in that order in an orderly fashion. One example would be this. When I was in the military, I'm a sergeant. Well, below me, I have I was in the Air Force. They messed everything up. You know, everybody else has platoons. We have flights. But below me, you have an airman first class. And then you have an airman second class. And an airman third class. And you have a basic airman. Now, above me, I've got sergeants of all kinds. I have a sergeant who happens to be a master sergeant or a tech sergeant, a master sergeant, a senior master sergeant, and there's another something or other master sergeant. And then we have the second lieutenant, the first lieutenant, there's the captain, and then there's the major, and then you got a lieutenant colonel, and then you have an actual colonel, and you got generals galore. But I'm way down here in this pecking order. And the general doesn't do what I'm to do. I don't tell him to do anything. I do what he tells me to do. Because I'm down here in the pecking order. And that's basically what we're seeing in hupostasso. There is an order to things. Men and women are in an order to things. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are in an order of things. Now, submission, it doesn't mean that a woman is a slave to a man. Submission doesn't mean that a wife is a slave to her husband. Submission doesn't mean that a mom is a slave to her kids. Well, then what does submission mean? You'll have to come back next week and I'll tell you. Sorry. This is a good place to break. We'll pick up here next Sunday. Let's pray. Abba, you're our dad. And I love what you shared so many years ago with a few of us at that time. When you had Dr. J. Vernon McGee speaking. That old saint, he spoke about the mother heart of Father God. Father, it's in that mother heart of Father God that you decided long before the world even existed that you'd create moms, that you would create a woman, and you would want to make sure that men and women understood and would come to understand every day the great value you hold for women. So, Father, may my church family and I keep our spiritual ears open May we listen ever so attentively and align ourselves in that hupostasso, that order, that submission to you. When you ask us to come and spend some quiet time with you, that we say, yeah, I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm setting that time, and I'm going to be there. That in that order that we're going to come and listen attentively, and then we're not going to fight you on it. You've demonstrated time and again, because you are God and have revealed yourself in this familial relationship to be our Heavenly Dad, you're all powerful, you're all knowing, you're ever present. And the clearest definition of you is love, always seeking our best and highest good. And it has been at your expense. So, Father, may we submit ourselves to your teaching. May we not fight it. You know the beginning from the end. You have demonstrated this great and awesome unconditional love for us. And when you ask us to do things that in our flesh or in our social engineering of this culture that we find ourselves in that is antichrist, that we will submit to you and say, yes, Dad. Yes, whatever you say. I may not like it in my flesh. I may not understand it in my mind, but I know that you work everything together for good to those who love you and are called according to your purpose. So open our hearts and our minds to receive from you maybe some significant radical changes in our lives and the way we conduct ourselves, that we might be pleasing to you. Please, Father, I ask these things for myself and for all these wonderful people that make up this church family. And I do so through your Son, his powerful name. Amen.